Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
When have we not done that?
Good evening. It is Sunday night, December 23rd, 2018. Happy holidays, everyone. That won't be a happy holiday for the San Jose Sharks as they lose 4-3 to the Desert Dogs. And we wish you a very happy holiday from all of us here at Teal Town USA. Welcome to After Dark. This is your live interactive Sharks postgame show. And of course, if you want to be part of the show, here's how you do it, folks. Multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat, on the page or the app. Join us at Teal Town USA on the Twitter machine if you want to hit us up there. Of course, just follow us everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube. You know it. You love it. And because it was Tomáš Hertl night, hi, everyone. Happy holidays. Good to see you. How you doing? Also joining me tonight, Mr. Alex Martinet.
Nice holiday jacket that you got on there.
Holiday jacket. And of course, Mr. AJ Strong. Yeah, that was pretty much it for the Sharks on this night. So if you haven't seen it, there you go. There's your little Hertl bobblehead. So joining in the festive actions there. And let's get going on this chant of Sharks losing in the shootout 4-3 to the Desert Dogs. Thank you very much. Are you rocking anything tonight, Mr. Strong?
No, I'm good.
Okay. First period, yeah, it was not bad. Of course, what was bad is that Oliver Ekman-Larsson tried to decapitate, Kevin LeBanc's head. He gets a elbowing call that hopefully gets looked at by the NHL, but...
Oh, my God. Did you watch this game?
Yes, I did watch this game.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Take notes next time. Coming into this one, before the game, Erik Karlsson is suspended for 2 games for that ridiculous hit against Austin Wagner. We do have audio from that, by the way.
Ah!
There you go. This Tim Heed slides in, of course, because, both righties. Third game for the season for him. Dell gets another start. Second one versus Arizona. This one I thought was a little bit better. Coming into this one, Arizona had one regulation win over their last 9. Just one. A 6-4 victory over Colorado last night. Kemper playing back-to-back. I think everybody thought Aiden Hill was going to start this one. It does not start off that great. Burns interferes with Cousins 56 seconds in. No shots on goal for Arizona. Good PK for them. Now we can talk about the Oliver Ekman-Larsson hit.
Ah!
There we go. I'm using that. I'm using that for everything. So LeBanc gets drilled in the face. He better get 2 games for this, Eric. Minimum.
No. See, how this works is that the NHL is pretty much against the Sharks, and it happened to a Shark, not from a Shark. So, therefore, no suspension, no fine, clean hit, good play. We carry on.
When it came to the suspension, I don't think it was... I think the NHL was basically reacting to how bad Wagner was getting off the ice. And it looked pretty bad the way he was struggling to get on the bench and then later to get off the ice. And it just wasn't a good look for the Angel not to hand any sort of punishment. Should it be 2 games? No, it should be at max a fine or even a 1-game suspension. 2 games is a little bit, for someone who has no player history, too much. If this is, I don't know.
I love the fact that Erik Karlsson is paying for the fact that Austin Wagner is made of glass, essentially. That he couldn't take the hit. He goes off. He's in pain or whatever. LeBanc takes a total headshot. His head bounces back into the glass, and LeBanc gets up. Why there wasn't a spotter, why he didn't go through concussion protocol, I have no idea.
Yeah. Exactly.
And to make matters worse, when Wagner got hit from EK, okay, we've all seen the video a thousand times. When Wagner got hit from EK, Luff and Dylan started to throw. They were ready to drop the gloves. Each guy standing up for the other. Where were the Sharks to stand up for LeBanc tonight? Why did no Shark go after a single Coyote after that hit? Which to me was far more egregious than the EK65 hit last night.
Maybe because they're too valuable to the team that sit for five?
And it... Not to say something bad about LeBanc, but it is LeBanc. It is a third or fourth liner.
Who the hell is Austin Wagner to the LA Kings?
But did anyone do anything? Did a LA Kings player do that last night or yesterday?
Yeah, dude, Luff and Dylan were going to throw after that.
It was pretty minor, though.
Because the officials stopped it like too sweet, but still, at least there was an effort there. There was nothing for LeBanc.
It wasn't the time when the Sharks didn't react when Joe Thornton got, drilled, and the Sharks just stood there. Well, no,
Sorensen stood up for him.
Well, it is well.
The one thing was, OEL did go over to check up on him afterwards.
Well, either way, and the other thing being is EK didn't even get a penalty last night. But OEK does get a penalty. The Sharks go on the power play. Of all people, oh, thank you. The beer is, oh, man, that was a good one. Tim Heed from Vlasic and Thornton. A beautiful shot from the power play from Tim Heed. Love to see a guy who's playing only his third game out of 38 games played, and he opens the scoring. You got to love when a guy takes advantage of an opportunity given to him,
just like Shimmick and Radil have. It's always a good thing, and to put him on the power play where he's got a cannon of a shot.
I thought it was fantastic. Of course, the lead would only last for 20 seconds, but
yeah. I'm assuming Heat started over Ryan because he's a lefty, and that's to replace Karlsson.
Absolutely. And let's be honest. I mean, you want to replace a guy who's known for offense with a guy who is known for offense.
Yeah.
You know, you're basically replacing EK65 with the same player who's just not nearly his skill set.
So what you're saying is the Sharks don't need Erik Karlsson, but...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just. But anywho, it lasted for a whopping 20 seconds. Galchenyuk would get his first one tonight from Keller. And you kind of go, oh, it's going to be another one of these games, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those games where we just give it up and, my God, not again. I mean, seriously. We've seen this happen how many times this season alone? Like we see in the chat, Jerry F, what is up with Vlasic this year? He generated all three goals against. I mean, and a good point from James Abel. Why are we blaming the losses on the officials? Two games they should have won.
Yes.
Well, I'm not blaming the losses on the officials.
No, who's not at all. Well,
who the hell's blaming losses on the officials? That lead lasted for 20 seconds. 2 minutes later, Hammer would high stick Jumbo, and a power play that scored just 2 minutes earlier. I don't think there was a shot on goal. The power play looked horrible. It didn't look versus LA horrible, but it looked pretty bad. And that's the way the first period would end. Faceoffs would be 50-50. Shots on goal are almost dead even. Arizona 11, Sharks 10. I mean, after the first period, you had to think, well, look, both teams played yesterday, but San Jose should have the advantage because they're at home. Yeah, they're playing 3-4, but they've all been at home. You got no reason not to empty the tank, and you should probably be pissed off that you haven't won your previous two games when you were right in it with Winnipeg and you just crapped the bed versus LA. I was expecting a huge bounce back tonight, regardless of EK65. And the thing that was annoying to me is I don't know if it was Brody and Curtis on the pregame or if it was Randy, but I just remember hearing a lot of like, they were like, oh my God, what are the Sharks going to be able to do now that without EK65 for two games? They won a lot of games last season with essentially the same lineup as tonight.
Yeah, nothing's really changed. Pretty much. Except you have Jumbo on with Kane, you know, on the same roster, at least. Even at times they were playing together once, you know, PDB started getting into the line blender, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so. I thought there was a lot made of that. I was just like, did we all forget last season already? That was quick, but okay. So, three shots on goal for the first two power play opportunities for the Sharks. Obviously, one of those going in. To start the second period, things were kind of dragging along a little bit until 9:43. And then we had some fun. Who was it? Who was the guy that Dylan absolutely ragdolled during that altercation?
Oh, that was Chalmerson.
That was Hammer? Okay, I thought so. So Dylan goes to the box for roughing. Hammer goes for roughing. Garland goes for the initial hook that started everything. The chat also pointing out we had Vlasic and Braun were also plus players last year. Ouch. Ouch. That is kind of a key difference.
Good point.
But Dylan, we do have a video of that. But I mean, Dylan just ragdolls Hammer. That was awesome.
Dylan's probably going to get suspended for four games, but that's
beside the
point. And Rappi, obviously, Rappi Torres gets 41.
He really disrespected the NHL shield right at the collar, and.
Dude, I mean, it wasn't like McQuaid ragdolling Kadri the other day.
I don't think there's much going to happen, but it was nice to see a little bit of early 2000s, 90s hockey back with the Coyotes, but yeah.
But 47 seconds after the Sharks get a power play, LeBanc would hook Stepan, so that negates the power play. Then just 31 seconds after that, Pavelski would slash Ekman-Larsson. The fact that they called that a slash, that was like such a love tap. And I thought Ekman-Larsson should have gotten an Oscar for that, or at least an Olympic medal for that dive.
Well, I think he's going for a Golden Globe right now for sure for that one. So, but you know what, AJ, he shouldn't have been in there because he should have been out of the game for such an egregious hit.
Yeah. I would concur with that. But, the Sharks go from a 5-on-4 to being down 4-on-3. They get you guys do
that. Then it went to 5-on-3.
Yeah, two-man advantage. Galchenyuk gets a second one on a 5-on-3 from Keller and Schmaltz on the power play at 12:21. And at this point, you're kind of thinking, oh, great. We got to battle back again against these pukes. Remember just 2 weeks ago, the Sharks scored the first three goals, then allowed Arizona to come back and tie it, and then had to put up another two to finish them off. This is an Arizona team, only one regulation win, until tonight, two regulation wins in their last 10.
It's scary to think that you lose to LA. That should have woke them up. You seem like you're playing with good speed against the Coyotes, and then just these little things keep getting into their heads or whatever it is, whether it's playing defense bad, giving up breakaways.
You can't leave points on the table in your own division, boys. Yeah, can't do it. Not when it's this tight. 1707, Richardson with slash Burns. The Sharks, for some reason, just cannot break out. Again, another putrid power play. I go back to, when is somebody, Steve Spott, going to be held accountable for this? After two, faceoffs even still, 50-50. Shots on goal, another trend that I'm not enjoying. If you look over the last, 20 games, I think the Sharks have won the shot clock on the second period maybe three times. This one, Arizona 10, San Jose 6. And so, of course, what happens when you're down and you're going into the third period? You dive into the cupboard and break out the line blender. Woo-hoo! So we see Kane out there. They put Hurdle at the pivot again with LeBanc. Then you see Pavs out there with Jumbo and Sorensen, Meyer with Couture, and Lukasz Radil. Nice to see Radil get a little bit of reward in that, playing with some really quality guys.
Yeah.
And then Donskoy goes down with Goodrow and Melker Carlson. You know, if it wasn't for the PK, I wouldn't have been able to tell you when Melker Carlson played in this game. I don't know what his – I mean, let me
– Melker had 942, and then he was 223 on the PK.
And what stands out even more is, look, is Donskoy at barely cracking 8 minutes. Low man on the totem pole. It wouldn't surprise me if – once EK is back, maybe you call somebody, you know, what, obviously he's who came up, was Chartier, right?
Yeah.
So Chartier just comes up. EK comes back. So Chartier will go back down. Who else is up with the guys right now?
Did they call Sumela?
No, Sumela's
he's with the Kudus too.
Yeah, there was Ryan's with the Sharks, but he's scratched all the time.
Yeah, it's usually Ryan Heed and then a combination of either Chartier, Suomela, whoever. So I'm just kind of wondering.
Morales, like, still down. Okay.
You can't. Yeah. I'd like to say, it's just what I was about to say, Marty, is when does Perron get a chance or something? I mean, somebody to get a look. And over Donskoy. Again, somebody needs to feign injury so we can call up a Barracuda player.
right now, the best thing Donskoy has going for him is his contract is really cheap on both sides. It's a pretty, it's, I think it's 2 years.
Well, you get what you pay for right now.
Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, that's a pretty good trade chip for someone who wants to cut capital. And the Sharks still do have some cap room, I believe. So maybe you could work something out that way, but
yeah. I don't know. I'm becoming less and less impressed with Donskoy. And in fact, I think, was it Gackle? Somebody in the Merc just recently had an article about Donskoy and that he needs to do better, blah, 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 blah. Well, we can talk about it all day long, but until you produce, whatever. Getting into the third, though, again, the line blender was going, but that got Hurdle going. He goes tight. I mean, just comes, oh man, that was beautiful. I mean, Vlasic kicks it over to Braun. Braun hesitates, finds Hurdle streaking. Hurdle just comes down, overpowers the Yotes with a beautiful goal, 4:17 of the third. And you're thinking, so you're telling me there's a chance. We're tied at two. Everything feels good. And then less than 2 minutes later, yet again, Garland gets a breakaway after Vlasic gets burned twice in about 15 seconds worth of time. That was fantastic. I mean, Vlasic had two assists tonight. He's only had 1 point in his previous 17. He gets two assists tonight, and it was a great start off to go over to Braun. And then immediately after that, he gets burned not once but twice. He basically gave up two breakaways inside of like 15 seconds.
Yeah, back-to-back games, a long pass from the defensive zone all the way out to the offensive zone, you know, versus LA, now versus the Coyotes. I don't wonder if there's a game plan against the Sharks that all the teams are now spotting. Having some streaky defender, streaky forward that comes out. I wonder if the Sharks are going to, during the break, not have defensive forwards, you know, break in like they used to, have Burns or Vlasic stay defensive like they should. But it seems like the league is catching up to the Sharks.
I don't know. I mean, they're not going to practice until Thursday morning before the Anaheim game. You know, league mandated 3-day shutdown for the holiday. Yep. So Oh, good for you.
I would say there's a worry that there's a playbook.
You know, I'd like to just see like a good amount of the guys say, you know what, while whoever is cooking or whatever, you know what, we should like lace them up and like do a little skating on Christmas Eve or the day after something.
Get some captain's ice.
Yeah, exactly. That would be nice.
Leadership? What?
Yeah. 10:04 of the third, Meyer would cross-check Archibald. Clearly a frustration penalty, not unlike the earlier one Pavs pulled on OEK. But
Meyer, you know, was getting the shots from Archibald as well, and that's what I think upset him. But that was pretty dumb on Timo's part. Either way,
it's a frustration penalty. Those are going to come from time to time. Then, you know, Arizona didn't make a whole hell of a lot out of it. At 13:53, Hurdle would wrap it around after a rim job from Kane. Oh, phrasing. Kane rimmed it around, and Hurdle wraps it in. Oh, if you think this is bad, just wait. I have a little, in fact, while everybody's enjoying Hurdle tying it up, let me just say to the 33 watching now, I do have a little surprise for you guys towards the end of the show, so stick around. This is Teal Town After Dark. For anybody new here, hit the subscribe button. We go live after every single Sharks game, so join us. And that would tie it up. We would go to free hockey, and you want to talk about pissing away an opportunity at 2:28, Arizona would get called for hella man. too much mans. And the Sharks get a 4-on-3. And Kane, while Meyer is sitting on the doorstep of the back door, wide open, Kane instead decides to shoot it right into the chest of Kemper. And you just sit there and go, why? Why would you do? I mean, obviously, you sit there and go, well, Kane must have not seen it. But, I mean, Timo could have just had like a neon blinking arrow above him. And I can't believe he missed that. But
I don't necessarily mind that. It was the 3-on-1, and they don't get a single damn shot on net.
And should have gotten a tripping call when Pavelski was tripped up behind the play.
You know, if you don't shoot the puck, you don't deserve a tripping penalty. You have to shoot the puck at the net. Put some pressure on the defense.
But at the same time, Meyer has a wicked wrist shot in. He passes it. I get it. It's to Pavs and everything, but they had two Coyotes coming. You remember, what's the biggest thing that Drew has always told us? Head on a swivel. You got to see them coming too, but that should have been a penalty call either way, but I'm sure the Sharks wouldn't have done anything on the power play. Back to you, AJ.
No, I'm completely with you. So the Sharks, unable to take advantage of that. We head to the shootout. The Sharks going into this one, of course, 0-for-2 in the shootout. The Yotes, 1-0. And what happens? We go with the same guys that we always go to, Pavs, Hurdle, and Couture. None of them can put one past Kemper. Only took one from Galyenchuk to win this one, who ends up getting his third goal, you know, sort of. And that's all she wrote. The Sharks currently 0-for-9. The shooters are 0-for-9 over 3 shootouts. We have not put in a single shootout goal this season. So,
Oh, good for you.
That's not the way you want to roll. So, That's the way this one would shake out.
Yep.
Now I guess we can kind of get into the Ekman-Larsson. Oh my god, dude! I still can't believe that I can't believe he didn't get tossed for that. What was I saying?
Play the Sharks.
Oh, Galyenchuk instead of Galchenyuk. Sorry. Yuck. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Who cares? I'm just so. Don't care. I was so happy, you know. I was tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and the shirt, like, you know, I don't want to call this a trap game by any stretch, but you know, it was
how about a trap weekend? How about that? Yeah.
dude. And you can't leave points on the table. You got three more
against
Pacific Division rivals, and these are not the bottom dwellers of that division, like you just played.
You've got Anaheim on Thursday. You got Edmonton on Saturday. When did they play Calgary?
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so next Sunday. I mean, it's, guys, I mean, you don't have any padding with you right now in where you sit in the West, or the Pacific, for that matter. I mean, come on.
Right now,
we're at least almost to the halfway point here. Your head out of your butt and let's go.
Right now, the Sharks are pretenders, because if the Sharks are out of the playoff spot by 3 points, they should look back on this weekend and say we should have won both of these games and had a 1 point cushion heading into the final two games of the season. I mean,
playoffs. Don't talk about playoffs.
You can talk about them all we want. All right. What else is there to say? We should have won these games 2-0, not given away extra points or taken 2 out of 4. This is kind of garbage.
Yeah, should have won 2 out of the last 3 minimum. Because they hung with
Winnipeg.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and this is just like what I tweeted out a few days ago, that I couldn't get too down on the Winnipeg loss. They had played well, but it was conversely, I couldn't get too up for the 5-game win streak because they weren't beating anybody significant. And here you go again. Now it's not the case of you can't even beat guys that are insignificant at this point.
And that's the thing, you know, you mentioned it yourself on After Dark, and I think even when we went off the air, who are the teams that they won on the 5-game winning streak? You know, and then you had a great effort against Winnipeg, definitely give you that. But then you have a dud against LA, and then you have a dud against the Coyotes. You got off to horrible starts in both of them. You gave up a power play goal to Kovalchuk. Then you start a minute into the game by having Burns take a penalty off right off the get-go. It's like, come on, guys.
All right.
Get your heads right on there right now.
Felix is saying it's frustrating, but let's not burn everything down. We're not saying burn everything down, but we reached the halfway. Game 41 is on New Year's. You're officially at the halfway point. If you don't have some consistency by then, I mean, even Couture mentioned it after game 26. I'll never forget, because he said, you know, does it take a little time to jive? He goes, yeah, it takes some time. It doesn't take 26 games. We're at almost 41 games, and we're still not seeing some consistency. You know, if you run the table and you beat the crap out of Arizona in LA, in Chicago, and the bottom feeders of the league, and then you struggle against the Nashvilles and the Winnipegs and the Calgarys or whatever, at least you can look at that and say, hey, the Sharks are getting burned by better teams. They're not getting burned by better teams. They're playing at like the level of their competition right now. They get up for games against Nashville and Winnipeg, and then they can't be bothered to wake up for games against teams like LA. By the way, also, the Sharks have played, I believe, 3 matinee, you know, early games this season, have lost every single one of them.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
So during that 5-game winning streak, the Sharks beat Coyotes, Devils, Stars, Blackhawks, and the Wild. I don't think any of those teams are going to make the playoffs.
Exactly my point.
Dallas, maybe, but that's a stretch.
The only team out of that group that the Sharks beat that had a winning record was Montreal, and they had a winning record by 1 game.
Yep.
They're 17-16 at that point.
Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I totally forgot they played Montreal.
Well, because remember the Montreal game, it was that morning that it was the meeting, Wilson and DeBoer. So
I kind of just blocked out the entire road trip. You know, I just want some peace of mind, but I didn't want it at home. So
Yeah, in Chris saying in the chat, you know, gifted that W against Chicago if you ignore that they stomped them in puck possession after the first 10 minutes. Yeah, that Chicago game also got to a craptacular start, yep. being down 2-0.
And Dell had to come in for Jones 5 minutes.
Yeah, Jones let in three of the first five shots. And it's like,
and then we had the quietest goalie pool in NHL history after that,
which was really impressive, by the way. Oh, man.
But I mean, in coming up, you have versus Anaheim, who you're chasing at Edmonton, which is a 1 p.m. start on the 29th. And then you're at Calgary on New Year's Eve, and then at Colorado. Boy, howdy. Do they like to be offensive? And then Tampa that following Saturday on the 5th. It's like you better get up for this, because otherwise you could be 5th in the Pacific and looking up at Edmonton on the outside looking in if you don't keep things going.
Yeah. I mean, at least we get another shot at LA relatively quickly, but again, you know, it's we're hitting the 41 mark here in a minute, boys, and it's time to find some consistency. So I don't know. I feel like we've sufficiently beaten this into the ground. Anaheim is bizarre, to say the least. We'll see what happens with them. Again, you know, if you watch this show for any length of time, you know that we refer to them as the Anaheim Gibsons. So
you could say they're better coached than the San Jose Sharks right now.
I think you just did say it.
What do you think I was trying to do?
So, puck possession swung after Chicago's star goalie was injured and San Jose yanked their goalie. Go figure. Yeah, it's true. who got run? Oh, they weren't able to Cam Ward this bitch.
Yeah. Steve Cropper, speaking of consistency, NHL better hand out another suspension.
Yeah.
Felix, what's more inconsistent, the Sharks or the Department of Player Safety?
Two things can be equally true.
Yes.
I think Cam Ward has a better save percentage than Martin Jones at this point.
I think Alex Stalock has a better save percentage.
No, that's being offensive to Martin Jones.
I'm just saying.
And James Abel making the point, when you combine the losses, 19-19, your record is what your record is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not great. It's not great.
It's a better save percentage than Jones. All right. That includes Niemi, right, Chris?
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So
I'm done. I'm done. So last night, the San Jose Barracuda finished up a back-to-back series with the Tucson Roadrunners, picked up the win from an overtime goal from Perron on the first game after not holding the lead the entire game. So that was kind of impressive. Unfortunately, the boys did fall last night 4-3. Bebo just not able to make that one save you really, really wanted. However, San Jose Barracuda do maintain the lead by 2 points over the Tucson Roadrunners. So that was a pretty significant little back-to-back stand at home. And for those of you who got the McCarthy and Thornton bobbleheads, just saying.
Oh, good for you.
I'm looking for you on eBay. let's see here. The Barracuda get back into it 2 days after Christmas, the 27th versus the Colorado Eagles, then hosting the San Diego Gulls on the 30th, and then they, like the Sharks, will be playing a quote-unquote hot team on New Year's. How funny is that weird scheduling quirk? The Sharks are at Calgary versus the Flames, and the Barracuda on New Year at the Heat versus Stockton. So one of those funny little scheduling quirks. And in fact, I was going to say, God, did they both start at the same time? No, the Barracuda start at 5, the Sharks start at 6. So anyway, that's where we are with that.
And don't forget, when both teams return Thursday, it is a hockey day in San Jose.
Hey now.
Ugh.
Hey now.
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
You know, I've been such a horrible person tonight. We'll just call it a reach around. How's that? Merry Christmas to you all in the chat.
It's the wraparound. How about
He let go of reach. The old
in guy New Jersey.
Let it go.
In New Jersey. In New Jersey, the Blue Jackets beat the Devils 3-0. The Neon Buggers get a shutout from Sergei Bobrovsky as Panarin, Atkinson, and Borgstrand get the goals for the Neon Buggers. In not Hartford, the Whalers beat the Bruins 5-3.
God, those jerseys were friggin' gorgeous.
They were beauts. Although I kind of prefer the navy ones. Timo Teravainen with 2 goals. Sebastian, your mom's not a hoe, with 2 goals himself as the Canes beat the Bruins 5-3. But yeah, the talk. Oh, those beauties of the Whale. Ah, oh, those so were beautiful. Gorgeous. Could use a better numeral font though. In Chicago, Panthers 6-3.
Once again, unable to Cam Ward that bitch.
Former Shark Mike Hoffman with his 17th of the season. Boy, we could use him right now. Former Shark James Reimer with the win as Cam Ward cannot Cam Ward this bitch. But DeBrincat with his 17th on the season for Chicago. In a shootout, the Flyers beat the... What?
Dude, Rob Humphreys. That guy should be in a better mood. He won 13 cents playing some game on his phone earlier.
Yes, I won HQ words earlier.
In taxes, they're just going to take 70% of that.
I don't know, right? So what, I'll be left with like 4 cents? That'd be awesome. In MSG, the Flyers beat the Rangers 3-2 in a shootout. Raffle and Wayne Simmons, the goals there for the Fly Guys, Kreider and Nevis with the goals for the Rangers. In Toronto, should have been Shark. John Tavares gets the tying goal with 7 seconds left. He sends it in overtime as Kasperi Kapanen wins it in overtime for the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are on 52 points on the campaign, beating the Red Wings 5-4.
Wasn't this game significant for Marlowe for some reason? I want to say this game was significant for Marlowe for some, like he tied somebody or he... Or was it like games played?
Must have been games played because I don't see anything on their score sheet for him.
Yeah, I want to say it was something that he surpassed somebody, much like Thornton surpassed Marcel Dion for assists. But Marlowe, I know there was something big, and I'm sure somebody will throw it up in the chat. And with that, who the hell is Sparks?
Garrett Sparks, that's their backup goaltender. The Leafs lost their two backup goaltenders in the waiver wire.
Have they tried looking for him or no?
AJ Strong premiering at Tommy T's this Saturday night.
Rob Hunt 10th on most games played list or something like that. Surpassed Ray Bourque for games played. That's what it was. I knew it was something.
Yeah.
Ray Bourque, known for leaving a team after 20 years to go to Colorado for a cup.
And Gen X saying he was never coming to San Jose. Let it go. Yes. We can all dream, just like the Leafs dream about a Stanley Cup.
Ray, Patrick Marleau will be a Shark again before Tavares is a Shark once.
That's right.
Yes.
AJ Strong apparently auditioning for stand-up comedian as a second. Well, that would be your third occupation, actually.
You just give me a hot friggin' second here. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to blow your mind.
Oh, yeah. He's got something riled up. If it's what you showed me earlier in the week, it's going to be epic.
You saw a portion.
Yes. In Lost Wages, Kings 4, Golden Knights 3 in overtime. Nosek Smith... That's right. Ryan Reeves scored his 7th goal this season on the power play. No, mind you.
What a bum.
Yeah. Fleury gets the loss. Peterson with the win. We told you about the Sharks and the Desert Dogs. Excuse us.
4 paws up for hockey saying, how come no one stood up for LeBanc? I'm more pissed off about that than the loss. If you would have gotten here about 30 minutes ago, you would have heard us talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty much.
And in the last game, Islanders 3, Dallas Stars 1. Cizikas Andersley, Komarov with the goals for Dallas there, or excuse me, for the Islanders. The Fish Sticks go to 18-13-4 on the season. The Stars are at 39 points.
Oh, poor Thomas Greiss doesn't get another start.
So, looking at the standings as we speak, we see, thank you, NHL.com, Winnipeg, Nashville, Colorado, your teams in the Central. San Jose misses an opportunity to pull within one of Calgary. Could have pulled two if they, or could have tied them in points if they had gotten their act together tonight and yesterday. Vegas with their loser point, they get to 44. Anaheim in the first wild card at 43. And yeah, those Ken Hitchcock-led Edmonton Oilers sitting at 39 with three teams within striking distance of the Oilers, including, yes, Vancouver.
To address Chris, he says, why do we assume every time someone lays a hit, someone needs to go all Neanderthal as if that will solve anything? I don't think you need to go Neanderthal every time someone lays a hit, provided the hit is clean. I didn't think there was a reason to go Neanderthal yesterday after EK65. Today, when OEK just straight up hits LeBanc in the dome and bounces his melon off the glass, no, a hit like that needs response. Not every hit, but there are some hits that need a response. And this is something that we have talked about for years. I don't know if it's Doug Wilson's passivity bleeding down through the lineup, but the Sharks are known for not responding to stuff like that.
You saw it with Mihalik, and I've preached this for years after that they didn't have a response to that. They kept going, and when they couldn't respond to to those cheap hits on the power play, when they got them, teams kept hitting
was in the playoffs. So
sure.
That is different, but it has happened in the regular season. Again, it's not every hit. I get that. But I'm saying the egregious ones warrant a response. And if you don't respond, teams are going to continue to do it. It's like the idea of having a lethal power play. If your power play is clicking along at 35-38%, teams are not going to be, you know, they're going to be working even harder to make sure they don't take penalties against you because your power play is so deadly. Conversely, when you've got a penalty kill that is killing it, you might play on the edge a little bit more, knowing that you're having that confidence that you're going to be able to kill any penalty you might take.
Yeah, but the Erik Karlsson hit was at best 50-50. And judging by the reaction from the Kings bench, they were just playing. They didn't think it was that egregious. And the LeBanc hit was far, you know, it looked more dangerous compared to what happened with the Karlsson hit, Wagner hit. Like, I don't think, if this was a really bad hit that Karlsson hit, then fine. But judging by the reaction, I don't think that the Kings thought it was that bad until they saw the reaction. And the reaction is what got the suspension.
See, Chris is saying it does nothing. Dangerous hits plays go up when there's enforcers in the lineup to respond to those hits, not less. It does nothing to deter those hits. You're clearly not getting my point, but that's fine. it has nothing to do with. Do you remember how much was talked about Brian Marchment?
Yep.
That other teams knew when he was on the ice.
Same with McLaren.
Yeah, that was another one. There are you adjust your play for some people,
and then remember, for a brief time, Shelley,
Jody Shelley. But for me, no, Scott Parker, because that guy was a lunatic.
not as much, but maybe even Brad Staubitz, especially after the 2-2 fight.
I don't know. Parker was a guy who would go over glass at somebody. He was like bordering on Ty Domi.
Yes. True, but
yes.
Anyway, that's something you can debate left and right. Talk to different people, you get all the different answers. But
a little bit of Murray, but
Murray was just a solid hitter. But, you know, guys like Parker, they'd go after you. Even Owen Nolan. How often did you see Nolan get an egregious hit? Because you knew that Nolan would turn around and beat the crap out of you. We all saw what he did to Jason Marshall.
Yeah, and he got subsequently lambasted on in Canadian hockey media because they kept replaying it for a week and then come down with that 11-game suspension that ruined the Sharks' 2001 season because, you know.
Either way.
It's the freaking tin cap going.
There are, I'm just saying, there are certain guys that have a reputation that maybe it makes you alter your game slightly.
Yep.
So.
Klo, even for that matter, but not as much.
Not sure. No way.
Mm-mm.
All right. So I think it's time to wrap up here, boys. We'll see you after Anaheim. But it is the holidays, right?
AJ, by so all means.
Everybody, gather around, will you? Unfortunately, I don't have any background music. I should have like some Nutcracker stuff going on or whatever. But I want to read to you from the Book of Teal on this holiday season. Are you ready?
Yes.
Light the fire. Dim the lights. Light the fire. Dim the lights. Because here we go. While I slightly adjust my fonts. Okay. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even Mike Hoffman's spouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that Ryan Getzlaf could one day grow hair. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of Gritty scared even the dead. Sharky in a kerchief and I in my cap. This one should be easy. Oh man, it's a trap. I turn on my TV and wow, what a clatter. This ain't the right game. What's this beer batter? And with my remote, I switch channels in a flash. Hey, Vancouver's still diving. Watch out for the splash. The Isles were told Tavares wouldn't go, but knew when he did, they'd just blame Garth Snow. The Jets from Winnipeg weren't at the rink. Likely missed an email since their Wi-Fi just stinks. And if you Ubered to the game, keep your voice low. The Senators rated this driver 1 star or below. Hey, what to my wondering eyes have appeared, but my sweet mini fridge fully stocked with new beer. This game is so fun, so lively and quick, but again and again, they missed the high stick. Come on, make a call. These refs are to blame. I screamed and shouted and called them by name. Go Logan and Timo, go Hurdle. Hey, Vlasic, call him a fuckface again. That was classic. This team is on fire. You can see all the sparks. Let's talk about this on Teal Town After Dark. And get on the chat. Turn up the sound. Oh, no, it's time for another reach around. We all know that Puck Guy thinks it's a wrap. That's only because his internet is crap. So keep it real. Keep it teal. Just keep it tight. Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. My Bravo, gift to sir. You. My gift to you, everybody.
Bravo. AJ Thanks. Strong. Not only is he an aspiring comedian, but also poet.
Aspiring?
Yes, I'm aspiring.
Just in case you need one more gift to make fun of me, but hey, well, what else am I here
Look
for?
Look at this. I got standing ovations. Thank you. Thank you. I worked hard on that. Took me about an almost 30 minutes to pull that off. As pirating, yes, I knew I saw that coming.
Oh God! Why do I even talk anymore, AJ? Seriously, man, oh man!
Oh my God! Who the hell cares?
Yes. In case you missed any of this, or you want to listen to AJ stuff again,
if you enjoyed that, give us a thumbs up on this video.
Yeah, share Jessica.
Share it with a friend. You can find the timestamp and just share it with a friend.
You can catch that and everything else that we do on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Of course, smash that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up when you like it. Looking at you, Jessica. In the chat, who always plays a dislike. With that, final thoughts and where the people can find you. We'll start with the Yule log from Al Martin.
Hey, Merry Christmas to all. It's a tough loss, but hopefully the Sharks turn around against the Ducks pretty soon. But I'll just leave it off. If you want to find me on Twitter, talk some hockey, Al Martin, it's in the description. Yeah, Merry Christmas to all, and I'll see you in the maybe in the new year. Who knows? But Merry Christmas, all.
Mr. AJ Strong with that epic performance as always tonight.
Gen X laying his own out there, and as if summoned to provide a gnarl prattle. I probably should say pratter. Pierre interrupts and says, Shattuck St. Mary's is that kid's alma mater. AJ _ Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram. Also throwing up some stuff for Teal Town USA on the Instagram. So do us a favor. Subscribe to all of those channels. TealTownUSA.com is the website where you can find everything. Hit us up at Teal Town USA on Twitter. It's, you know, all the social media stuff. Do I really need to go through this again? Just by all means, give us the thumbs up. Give us a good rating on SoundCloud and give us some comments on. Put some comments in this. We never see enough comments on our YouTube videos. And when we do, it's usually some butthead from Las Vegas. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We love all the viewers. It's a happy Festivus to you, buddy. We'll see you after the holiday, unless I get hammered on Christmas and decide to get Periscope up in here.
That might be fun. I might join you on that if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. I got nothing but time, man.
Well, speaking of time, you have just a little over 3 hours, if you're watching this live, to go vote for your favorite Shark to be the captain of the Pacific Division All-Stars. Voting ends tonight, so make sure you vote NHL.com/vote. To vote Pavelski, Jumbo, Timo.
Let's all vote for Martin Jones because he deserves it.
Yeah, what he said.
Oh yeah.
Until then, we want to make sure we thank each and every one of you who appreciated and enjoyed our lovely show throughout the year.
I know.
Thank you very much, AJ. We really appreciate
what he said.
Yeah, we really appreciate you immensely. Please enjoy the time off. We'll be back with you on Thursday night following the Sharks and Ducks, following my birthday for that matter too. So that'll be fun. I will see you at the Tink on Thursday. And until then, have a great holiday, whether it's Festivus, Christmas, Boxing Day, you name it. For everyone here, keep it real, keep it teal. Keep it real, Teal. We will see you Thursday night, and we're about a month away from the All-Star Game.
What's the website again?
TealTownUSA.com. Wow.
Seriously? Wow.
Good night, just, everyone.
Wow.
Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.